This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with the CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 megahertz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4, CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can also call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Robin Erickson speaking for the board, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
It's time for Night Danger Radio.
All right. Welcome to Night Danger Radio, everyone. Am I loud? I am pretty loud. Holy smokes. Hey, it's episode 272. It's a special one. Hold on. Let me turn up my mic. There we go. Oh, I can hear myself now. Oh, everything's coming together. What a great interview from Tanis there, Listening Pleasures. A bicycle face. Amazing. Amazing. And we're going to go back-to-back interviews tonight on episode 272 here. We got the Zaps interview. We got two parts of it with two-thirds of the Zaps themselves, who, by the way, most importantly, I got to get this straight. So Friday, July the 5th, that is this Friday at the Osborne Tap House, they're releasing their debut EP. So far, they've only released singles, but this is the debut EP for the Zaps. I'm super, super duper stoked. We're going to get into it a little bit more with maybe a few more details. And actually, in the interview, the Zaps, we asked them some questions about the show a little bit later. I think that's in part two. But make sure you make your plans now. Friday, July the 5th. At the one and only Osborne Tap House. I think it's going to be, well, I mean, it's going to be kind of a cool night, even if it does rain, like it seems to do every single day now in Manitoba. And but anyways, you can the show's indoors, and there's also the really cool patio at the Tap House, so you can sit on the patio, listen to the Zaps, listen to all the opening band. Sorry, I'm going to have trouble with words today. I got back from the lake about 6 hours ago, and my mind is, well, what's the word? Mush. That's it. Yeah, a Canada Day weekend of debauchery for the old man here, and wow, I am feeling my age for sure. But nonetheless, let's get on with it. We're going to go with part one of the Zaps interview. I'm going to let the fellas introduce themselves here right off the bat. And like I said, we couldn't get Jay in there. He was off making money, working out of town, apparently. And so two-thirds of the fellas came down. And here's part one of our interview with the Zaps. Remember, get down there July the 5th. That's this Friday at the Osborne Tap House. Here we go in, should I do the countdown? Yeah, what the heck? 3, 2, and 7. Hello, everybody. It's the Night Danger Radio Show here on CKEW, and another special show for us. I'm really excited about this. We have two-thirds members of the Zaps with us who are about to release their debut EP, really their first recording that they've done in a studio and everything, which we're really excited about. We'll get into that in a little bit in the interview. But fellas, welcome to CKW Radio. Welcome to Night Danger Radio. And maybe what we should start off with is introductions. Maybe just give me a name and what you do in the Zaps.
Hey, everybody. This is Ryan. I'm the bass player in the Zaps. Thank you very much for having us on your show. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Andrew, or Rook. Play drums in the Zaps. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah. All right, and we are missing one-third of the Zaps. I can't remember, is he working? Is that what the... He's working out of town. We're talking about Jay. So what does Jay do in the band? You can talk for him, I think.
Jay plays guitar and does the majority of our lead vocals and lyric writing. And songwriting.
We got a question about songwriting coming up in a bit, too, for sure. But listen, I think we need to go back because there might be listeners out there who aren't familiar with you quite yet. So maybe we should go back a little bit and get them familiar with the history of the Zaps. So the first thing I want to know is, when did the Zaps form, approximately, if you don't, maybe just the year?
Well, Jay and Rook had been playing together for almost a decade. And they were writing some music together over COVID, and myself, I was looking for a band, and I put up an ad on Kijiji, and Jay answered the ad, and then I came down and met the guys, got to know one another, and then we went up and started jamming, and that's how it's been going ever since. And that would have been late 2002.
2022.
Geez.
Oh, yes.
So, pretty young band for sure. That leads me into my next question, because when I saw the 2022 thing, I immediately thought, oh man, we were just out of the pandemic at that point. And you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what role did the pandemic have in the forming of the Zaps? We'll leave it at that.
Well, like Ryan said, Jay and I jammed in different bands for almost a decade. And so a band had ended right before the pandemic, and so three of us were left from that band. We just started jamming and writing songs, and then COVID hit, and we just kept doing it because we enjoyed playing music together.
Let's do that Kevin Bacon game thing. So what bands have the Zaps formed out of? You mentioned there was the one for sure.
We were, Jay and I played in Bring the Fight, as well as Someone Talked.
And I took a couple, took a hiatus from music and hadn't played in an active band since 2008. Oh. And before that, the band I was in was based out of Brandon in Winnipeg called Yesterday's Dream. They were a hardcore outfit, and... did a real good job of what they did too, but I didn't play in a band that was you know, playing shows and whatnot, and till I joined up with these guys. Yeah, but I was playing with other people. Then COVID started, so what had happened is I hadn't played for a long time, and then I bought a bass, and then I met up with a guy named Kevin Gabler. He's a good guy. He's the lead singer in a band called Saints and Rogues, and then we started jamming together, and I moved on from him, and then I joined up with these guys. Yeah, but the Saints and Rogues are doing good things right now. Oh. You gotta, if you can, check them out. You'll be very impressed. Very unique sound and unique style, and they're really good at what they do.
Cool. I've got to check them out. Actually, they're another band in Winnipeg that I'm not familiar with, including some of the folks at the EP release. So I'm really excited to see some of the openers for you guys as well as yourselves. That'll be awesome. But you know what's awesome is the name The Zaps. How did this come about? Is there a story? Because I love the name, and I love the spelling too, by the way. So
it's Zebras Against Petting Zoos. Or Zombie Apocalypse Preparedness Zone.
I had no idea. Hey, man, you got to put the periods between there for the acronyms.
It's actually not that at all, but it works. I think Jay was, I don't know, surfing the internet or something and came across something talking about depression medication and lacking in it giving you brain zaps, and he thought that was a cool word, and so we kind of just went with it.
For sure, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the Z-A-P-Z, the Z at the end is because there's other bands called the Zaps. Is that why you spelt it the way it is, or you just felt like spelling it like that?
I think we just felt like spelling it like that. Pretty unique, and maybe it would, you know, we hoped to stand out from anyone that might end Zaps with an S.
That's right, and it does. It worked, actually, because when I went searching for you guys, I don't think anyone else had the Z at the end, so that worked out great. And I did find some ZAPS people out there. I don't know who they were or where they're from.
There's a 70s funk band called the Zap Band.
Zap Band.
Yeah, and then there's lesser-known people throughout the world that have a similar name.
Yeah.
But as far as you know, punk rock bands, I think we're the only Zaps, and it's really hard to find a name that's not out there. You know, there's millions, and you know, as you know, there's 5-6, what are we at, 7 billion people now, and there's, you know, a bunch of them are entering names into their computers and YouTube and you know, social media. You know, it's almost impossible to find something that's completely 100% original. But I think this is about as close as it gets. There isn't anybody else called the Zaps, ZAPZ, on Spotify, so
yeah,
that's a bonus.
That's important.
Yeah, that's important, especially nowadays. Trying to get ahead in the music industry is like hard enough as it is. Never mind if you share a name with another freaking band. That's crazy. But yeah. So speaking of internet sleuthing, there's not a heck of a lot out there about you guys yet. But I understand you're a young band. But one thing that every piece of information that I read about you, it says your genre is melodic punk. There was a little mention of hardcore earlier and stuff like that. Is that something that you're in agreeance with the melodic punk thing, or is there genre wise, do you consider yourselves more than just melodic punk, say?
I think we play kind of melodic skate punk. So, yeah, we definitely have influence from the skate punk kind of scene from the 90s and even up till now, obviously. And with our vocals, too, we do throw a lot of aggression on there. So they would be more like hardcore, but there are melodic parts as well. So it's hard to just throw a, you know, 16 different genres and try and call yourself that. So we just narrowed it down to melodic punk.
It makes sense, too.
What I noticed when I started jamming with these guys and learning the music and writing music with them is that the songs, how should I put it? To me, the songs are their own unique thing. Like they don't a lot, like the music doesn't. You can go sometimes. You go see an act, and you know each song. You kind of each song kind of blends in. You know, we don't really know where one ends and one begins, but But with these guys and myself included, I think that we try and make each song to be its own, that stands alone on its own piece of music that, you know, played in a sentence. Set is an overall arching narrative, you know.
I'm curious for influences. I'll make this kind of a two-parter for the both of you. So who's influencing you? Like, who are your favorite bands? And has that changed a lot over the years? Like, did you start off on a certain genre and then you migrated to punk, say? Or have you always been kind of punk fans? Or like, who are you listening to and how has it changed over the years as we go here?
Oh, I was in my early teens. I'm the young guy in the band. I was in my early teens on a road trip with my grandparents and picked up a Vans Warped Tour CD because it was like $8 for a two-disc compilation. And picked up like a Atticus Dragging the Lake 2, I think. And both those albums changed my life and just punk rock ever since. And I still go back to all that old music. There's a lot of current, maybe not current, but a lot of bands that are putting out music that I still really like. But yeah, I always go back to that stuff from the early 2000s for me.
My musical journey kind of goes like this. I don't know, it's hard to... Well, so anyway, I listened to a lot of new metal in the late mid-90s. Deftones, Korn, Limp Bizkit, and then I forget the exact year, but probably 1999. I went to a Bad Religion concert at the convention center, and a band called Strung Out was opening for them, and that changed everything. Became like one of the most hardcore skate punk fans you can imagine. Even when the genre kind of lost a lot of gas in the early 2000s, I took to the internet seeking out bands from around the world that pushed the boundaries technically, and then Wilhelm Scream came around. And really kept the gas in the tank for me. And like I said, through the use of the internet and blogs, and then eventually social media. You know, I kept looking and searching for new bands, trying new things, and just kept to this day. You know, I still seek out new bands that are doing something interesting. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh yeah, I've got a. Yeah, even the late 2010, the early, I don't know, in about 2007 or something like that, I'd go to the bargain bins and found a This Is a Standoff CD in there. I hadn't heard of them, threw that in the CD player, and that's just how it's been for me.
Aha, so I found out in the interview already, you guys are my competition at the bargain bins. I get there, and half the time it's empty. I'm like, oh, crap, I've been scooped. But I got a feeling there's quite a few of us out there. I mean, I've lucked out a few times, but usually I get there and all that's left is Ann Murray and, you know, Doug and the Slugs or something like that. But
go to in Grant Park. In Grant Park, there's the Sound Exchange.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that I haven't been there too much recently, but you go there and you can tell when somebody just dumped their CD collection in there, and you can almost tell the time frame that when they were in the peak of their music purchasing, and you can definitely, if you time it just right, you can definitely scoop up some stuff you'd wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to buy in this day and age.
For real, and as everyone knows, as I'm preaching to the choir, especially for a CKW audience, but a lot of people are getting rid of their CDs. And they're just dumping them all. I mean, I've had friends dump 40 CDs on me and say, I don't have a player no more or something. And I'm like, I'll take them. So, yeah. So, by the way, if you want to dump your CDs off, I'm available for dumping. That's for sure. But, all right. So, 2022, the band forms. And you guys have been around town a bit. You guys have played some gigs and whatnot. So, I'm just wondering, coming out of the pandemic, being a new band, what's your impression on the Winnipeg music scene thus far?
I'd say right now it's really hitting its stride. There's a lot of music being released right now. I can't even name them all right now, but there's a lot of bands hitting the road on tour. There's a lot of shows. You know, it's pretty happening right now. You know, there's a new venue opening up in South Osborne the side stage. It's going to be starting shows there in September, I believe. Things are pretty happening right now. I don't know what else to say other than keeping an eye on things on social media. I see a lot of action, and it's really encouraging.
Yeah, the music show scene, it changed a lot through the pandemic. It seemed like it was really easy to easier at least to book a venue 3 weeks in advance. Now it's like 3 months at least in advance, and trying to find different bands, and a lot of bands had disbanded through the pandemic and stuff too, so it all became kind of new territory for me, at least, since the pandemic. But yeah, like Ryan said, it's taken off. Things are looking good.
For real. I mean, lots of stuff going on. Lots of release parties going on, meaning that bands are getting in the studio and getting out there and putting out, so far for me, really, really quality EPs or full-lengthers. Your EP release, this is your debut, and for the band, if I'm not mistaken, this is your first time as a band in a studio. Would that be accurate? Okay, for real. Can you describe like the songwriting process? I know you were saying earlier that Jay does a fair amount of the writing, but do you guys get in there as well and add to maybe what Jay started, or how does the writing work for all the songs?
Yeah, Jay usually jams something out at home, or he's just got sometimes just an idea, and then Ryan and I throw our own parts on it, and we change up, the pattern, or, hey, we like this, we don't like this, let's try this riff with it, let's try this beat with it, and, so we definitely change what comes in, but we all think it's for the better, and Jay agrees with us with what we do 100% usually, so it goes pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say I'd much rather have somebody come in with a full, not like a full concept, a full a hook, a melody, a hook, a riff. The more riffs is the better, in my opinion. When it comes to building a song, from my youth, we just jammed. We'd start playing a riff and play that riff for half an hour, and then forget it. And so I know that playing the feel and rocking in the pocket for extended period of times doesn't always like lead to anything productive at all. So I'm very big on especially showing up with lyrics. That's a big thing. It's been my experience, if you have some music, some riffs, some ideas, but no lyrics, it becomes quite the challenge to put the lyrics in after the fact. So if to have an idea come through the door with lyrics already is it's the most efficient. I know efficiency is not super important when it comes to art and whatnot, but to me it's like let's just skip the hassle and just get right down to the fun of playing a song. And I believe having the lyrics, from an early phase in the writing process is pivotal to that.
So Jay writes the start for the lyrics. He kind of has the idea for a song for lyrics. But does he get stuck ever and go, man, I don't have a second verse or something? And do you guys come in and fill that up with your take on whatever the topic of the song is? Or,
well, like we released the song "Got Up, Had a Drink" last Wednesday, and when we wrote that song, Jay came up with a pre-chorus, if you will, and a chorus, and he had no idea what to do in the verses because it's kind of like it's a bouncy riff kind of thing. He had no idea, and so I actually came up with the verses there. But other than that, typically Jay's like got all the ideas, and we'll throw in. He usually can get all the lyrics out and get ideas at least, and if he wants, he asks us for our opinion and our input. And we give him that even when he doesn't ask.
Whether you like it or not. Yeah.
But just to add, it's like, it's really important to have people to people to support your concept. Like, I don't know. I'm not, personally, I'd rather be a good helper than have to be the guy that's coming up with these ideas. You know, so if I'm, you know, if I can help as best I can, you know, I really, really appreciate being able to do that, because I know what it's like to be the spark, you know. So I want to be the fuel, you know what I mean? Like, it's not easy. It's not easy, and it's even harder if people aren't you know, working with you. You know, so it's like, it's super important to me to make sure that I do what I can to make these ideas become reality.
For sure, I think it's really important to have someone come up with that initial concept too, and then having everyone help out is awesome. So, but before the EP was recorded, you released a couple of singles. I think I wrote them down here. Grief Case, of course, was one, and Forget was another one. And they were just recorded live off the floor, though, as far as I could see. I want to know what. So you jump from you know the live off the floor stuff, releasing that, and then you recorded this in a studio, I'm assuming. What was that like? What was your studio experience like? Where did you record it? You know, and how different was it for you guys? Or because I don't even know if you guys have experience in a recording studio before this EP.
Yeah, we recorded live off the floor in our jam space for those two singles initially, with the guy who did the videos, Travis Anima. Yeah, going to the studio, Jay and I had both had experience. We'd gone to Private Ear in the past and worked with. We worked with JP. We brought Paul Miner up from California, and we, with someone talked, we recorded that on our own with our drummer, but at also at Private Ear. He produced the album. So for the Zaps, we went to Ricochet Recording with Jordan Voth. It's a little home studio, and it was great. It was a great experience. He's a great guy. Really smooth. Things went way smoother than all of us expected, and it was really good, and we're really happy with our end product. So I think that's what counts.
Yeah, and things went so smooth that we threw another song in with just out of the blue, that became our second single off the CP, Got Up and Had a Drink. That wasn't part of the plan when we showed up that day, but we were way ahead of schedule and way ahead of the game that Jay said, let's throw it in there. And we did. And, you know, it definitely was the right choice, because when we started to hear it come together, we were like, wow, this is something. And, you know, even after sitting around talking, you know, Jordan said that it had some real... had some real oomph, and maybe consider putting it out as a single, and then that's exactly, we took his advice, and that's what we did.
Hey, this is Rook from the Zaps, and you're listening to Night Danger Radio on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Down. Hanging from the edge, and I'm starting to break.
CKUW. Oh, hey, wait. Okay, sorry. CKUW 95.9 FM. Hello, it is the Night Danger Radio Show. Hello, we are on No Sleep. We just got back from the Canada Day Party of the Century. No, it wasn't. We're old. We're finding out. We're starting to realize we're old and we can't party like we used to. Like we were young punks. But who cares about that? Because we have part two of our interview with the Zaps coming right up. But listen, that was single number two that we just heard from the Mighty Zaps. And you have to get down there on July the 5th, this Friday, for the Pancakes EP release show. But we just heard, like I said, second single called Got Up, Had a Drink. And you know what? That kind of was happening on the weekend to us. Us fools. But anyways, that was amazing. It's you know what? I was going to say that's a self-release thing, but it's not, as you'll find out in part two of the interview. But anyways, 1130 Records is the record, I guess, label, we'll call it, independent record label that's putting this baby out. Wicked cover on the record, by the way. Really, really nice. And the fellas get into that a little bit, about the artwork, because the gig poster artwork is amazing too. So it's really, really good. But one thing I didn't mention yet, besides the this Friday, July the 5th, of course, the EP is entitled Pancakes. Who doesn't like pancakes? Hell yeah. But listen, I'm really excited. Because one of my favorite punk bands, local punk bands, is Shit Happens, and they're one of the openers on July the 5th. So that's wicked. But I am not too familiar with Lost Planet Airmen, who are another opener for the show. And then there's also the Second Floor Patients. And I have yet to see these two folks, these two bands play. And so I'm super duper stoked to see them. So if you're wondering, the doors are at 8, the bands are at 9, and the cover is only $10. Folks, this is like going back to like the 90s, $10. So you have no excuse. You should get down there. We're talking about four wicked punk bands. We're talking about the Osborne Tap House in July with the patio open. And yeah, we're talking about inexpensive beverages, poutine, the whole thing. There's no reason why you shouldn't be down there this coming Friday, July the 5th. So, yeah, listen, without further ado, let's get to it. It's the Zaps interview. This is part number two. This is the final part of the interview. Enjoy.
I was reading something about 1130 Records. What the heck is that?
Well, 1130 Records is our record label that we had to enter when we were putting our music online through DistroKid. And it's the it's the number of the room of our jam space. Oh. Yeah, there's I don't know. We had a few other ideas. I didn't know. I just learned this. I learned this a little while ago when I was putting our stuff online for consumption, because I didn't know this. You don't just upload a song to Spotify. You don't just, you got to go through the proper channels, because even though there's, probably, tenths of a penny going to come our way from all the streams. You know, there's people out there that have, 50 million, 1.5 billion streams. And then so, that, there's real money being exchanged. So there has to be a proper publishing and whatnot in order to do that. But when we set up the online distribution, the option was, and you couldn't bypass it. You had to put something, and that's what we put. You couldn't avoid it. So you had to put something, and I don't know if they were joking or not, but DistroKid said get creative, and because I assume a lot of people don't have a record label that these days, and that was our. That was our, yeah.
I'm kind of glad I asked that question. I thought it was an indie label for you guys, like independently put out. But I had to ask. I don't know. I have something with labels. I don't know. Everyone who's listened to my interviews before is like, cut the questions with the labels already, because you know most bands aren't going to get a major label deal these days unless you're Taylor Swift or something.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe after all the experience I gained putting out this, us working together, putting out this album, that we might just start a record label. Now that we know all the ins and outs of online distribution and promotion and everything else, it's been a real learning experience. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, and you know, but it's been rewarding to say the least, putting in the effort. But yeah, there's a lot to it, especially. Especially graphics design. That's a real challenge to make sure that everything's all technically proper, I guess you could say. I don't know a better term for it. You know, we're still learning as we go, and that's probably, you know, I'm sorry, I've said to the guys a few times, I'm pretty sure a record label in 2024 is essentially a graphics artist sitting in a room making online promotions for everybody, because it's quite a challenge if you don't know the technical side of it. Let's just say that.
Yeah, for real. Everyone knows it's like a long, arduous job to do that stuff. That social media stuff is exhausting after a while. I mean, it's just like, holy cow, it never ends either. So my next question, though, is a pretty important one. So for those who don't know yet, the new EP is called Pancakes. Now, I love Pancakes, but I need to know if the story's a little bit more than the Zaps All Love Pancakes, or is there a story behind the naming, or what's going on here?
Well, the original name that came up was Jerk Store. We were going to call it Jerk Store. If you've seen the episode of Seinfeld about the Jerk Store. And so George gets zinged by a coworker, and he's looking for a comeback, and he comes and settles on the comeback being Jerk Store. And so it plays out throughout the episode, and then he finally, because his coworker opens himself up for an insult, and then George says, "The Jerk Store called, they're running out of you." And then his coworker replies,
"You're their best." That's funny because you're their best seller. Yeah.
Amazing.
And then it goes from there. So that was the first draft for a title for the album. And I've been wanting to call it. Yeah, it wasn't my idea, but when it came up, I was like 100% behind it, because I've been wanting to call something Jerk Store for a very long time. And you know, the more we thought about it, the more we repeated it over and over. We're like, eh, maybe not. And then I don't know. Maybe you can finish this off, because I don't know where it went from there.
I think Jay just showed up one day with the concept of Pancakes, and he had this album art idea in his head, and we're just like, all right, yeah, that's cool. We're cool with that. We're pretty easygoing when it comes to stuff like that. We don't want to butt heads. It just takes away from our whole experience, and we're grown men. We don't need to do that. So we just kind of roll with it all together, and it all works out. And I mean, who doesn't like pancakes, right? Yeah. It's going to be a great EP. And a great name, too.
It is. I love it. I also love the art. Now, I don't know if what I'm seeing, because I've seen some online advertisements for the big show, which, by the way, folks, I haven't even mentioned this yet, but July the 5th is the show. That's a Friday night, and it's at the Osborne Tap House. I'll get you guys to fill in some blanks in a second here. But yeah, like the art on the gig poster that I've seen so far, is that very similar to the record cover, or is it the same artist, or what's up with this?
Well, the show poster was put together by Kevin Gabler, who Ryan mentioned earlier. He does some graphic design, and we reached out to him. So he actually did the work to try and make it look like an old-fashioned Pancake House menu.
Yeah.
And we all think it was great. The album cover is completely different. It's lots of bright colors. It was drawn and colored by John Mayo, of Winnipeg. He does great work too. And Jay's been, you know, lifetime friends with him as well. So we just reached out to him, and it was, we were all game for everything that he came up with us. And it's looking good.
Yeah, I love it. I love the gig poster. Probably some of you have seen it already, because we're sticking it up there on the old interwebs and whatnot. So let's get into it, though. So like I was mentioning, July the 5th is the show. That's a Friday night at the Osborne Tap House. It's probably going to be boiling hot out. The patio, like the doors are going to be open. You're going to be able to go out on the patio while you listen to the Zaps and all their openers. Fill in some blanks for us on that night, such as like openers, if you know any set times and stuff, maybe you can spill the beans on that kind of thing too.
So what I do know is going to be a hell of a show. Doors are at 8, bands are on at 9. We have second floor patients, they're on first. I checked them out at Emo Night. I like to scout bands. No, I'm just kidding. But I checked them out. Yeah, for 1130 Records. So when I was putting together the lineup for this show, I made sure I looked. You know, I said, who's, you know, there's a lot of movers and shakers in Winnipeg, and so I made sure to, you know, get the movers and shakers on this bill, because you know, we're trying to be. You know, we're movers and shakers too, I guess, you know, but, you know, I wanted to like have, you know, some active bands, and, I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I'd almost want to just start over here.
Who else is on though?
So we have, Second Floor Patients, Lost Planet Airmen, Shit Happens, and us. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
And so doors are at 8. And is the music at 9? Is that fair? Or
yeah. 9-ish.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so 9-ish, all the excitement begins. So maybe we should go forward a little bit too. So the record comes out, the EP comes out, but you guys also have some stuff planned for the summer as well. Two things in particular that I'm thinking of. You want to let people know about that a little in advance here?
Two things that you know of. We have Bankside Music Festival in L'Atelier on July 26th, Friday night. It's not too far from the city, so come on out.
Yeah.
And we'll pass the mic to Ryan, because I'm drawing a blank right now for some reason.
Yeah, let's give this another go. I gotta recoup.
Redeem yourself.
Yeah, redeem myself. I gotta slang in the promo here. All right, here we go. All right, Bankside, July 26th, and then we have Winnipeg Punk Fest.
Yeah.
That is in August. I don't remember the exact date off the top of my head, but that is gonna be a heck of a weekend. Both nights stacked lineups at the Royal Albert Hotel in downtown Winnipeg, Manitoba, yeah. Canada, the historic, legendary venue. It's looking like a really good time. I believe it's there is online ticket sales. I'm just trying to remember this all off the top of my head. Online ticket sales, you know, obviously tickets at the door. There is weekend passes for the Friday and Saturday. I don't have any more of the details in front of me. There's a long list of awesome bands. And we are playing on the Saturday evening of the festival.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, and I might be mistaken, but quickly, let me see. I got a list here somewhere. sorry. I believe it's August 23rd and 24th. I might be totally off here. Oh, yes, it is August 23rd and the 24th at the Royal Albert Arms. Damn. And to me, that might be almost like resurrecting the old days a little bit, because the Albert has kind of gone away from the punk rock thing a little bit now, and they're doing, to be honest with you, I'm not sure what they're doing, but it'll be nice to have a two-day punk fest at the Royal Albert, the legendary Royal Albert, for sure. So Okay, we're bouncing around a little bit, but let's get back to the EP because that's what this whole thing is basically about. So where can people grab the EP? Like say people are at their cottage or something, they can't make it out July the 5th. Where can they go when they get back home to grab a copy of the EP?
They can grab it on every single digital platform, I believe. It comes out June 26th.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Oh. And, you know, given a week and a half listen before the EP release show so that we got the whole crowd singing along with us because they're all great sing-along songs.
Melodic,
yeah.
Yeah.
I forget your question now.
That was it.
Oh, all right.
That was it, yeah.
You know what? I'll put you on the spot, though, a little bit. We talked a little bit about this off mic, though. Is there a plan for physical media ever with the EP?
Yeah, there definitely is. We're still in the works in receiving our CDs, but there will definitely be CDs. There may be records in the future. We've talked about it. We've talked it over with some companies that produce records, and it's just the timelines didn't work out for us for this EP show, but it may come in the future.
Yeah, the order for CDs is placed. We're just waiting to find out, get a 100% confirmation if we'll actually have them in our hands come the release show. And but I'm quite optimistic that that'll be the case. I got my fingers crossed too. And yeah, so grab yourself a copy, and then once we have the physical media, we're gonna get our Bandcamp up and running, where you can get merch from the website and have that shipped out to you.
Very cool. All right. Well, you know what? I'm pretty much out of questions. But can you guys think of anything that I forgot that you think the listeners of CKW need to know about the Zaps? Anything at all? We might have covered it.
We're already working on our next release. We got the concept already. We got the tunes. We're gonna keep this train going.
Wow, this could be almost like the Thrashers, man. They released a double EP for some reason, which I've never even heard of a double EP before the Thrashers. Apparently, it exists though. That wasn't a new thing, but when they were like, "Hey, we're releasing a double EP," I'm like, "What does that mean?" And you guys are, sounds like you're almost going to do that, which is pretty cool for sure. So yeah, that's great. Thanks so much for doing this. By the way, we're doing this interview during Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we're in the legendary Bailey's restaurant for anyone who cares out there. And this place is super cool. But fellas, thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. And I got to say, I'm looking forward to July the 5th. I think it's going to be pretty damn epic. It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll see you all there.
Hey, this is Ryan from the Zaps wishing CKUW 95.9 FM a happy 25 years on the FM dial.
Yeah.
Caught in a vision, I lost in my sleep. and pulling at my skin. I just want to feel something again. It's calling me.
CKUW 95.9 FM. It is the Night Danger Radio Show. It is 12:54 in the AM on a Wednesday morning, early Wednesday morning. And yeah, the Zaps, man. We're talking July the 5th. We're talking the Osborne Tap House. We're talking Doors at 8. We're talking the band start at 9. It looks like the Second Floor Patients are the first up, and then the Lost Planet Airmen are next, if I'm not mistaken. Then Shit Happens are next, and then the Zaps are going to come out and play their tunes, and they're going to rip the roof off the Osborne Tap House. So I'm looking forward to it, and cover is only $10, folks. Heck yeah. So it's going to be a great time. I'll see you down there, everybody, and I'm going to drag some people with me. And we're going to have a wicked time. And it's always a fun time at the Osborne Tap House. But when you have bands like I just mentioned, I mean, come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. So let's pack the Osborne Tap House. And we'll have fun till the daddy takes the T-Bird away. Or your daddy takes the T-Bird away. Or maybe my dad will take the T-Bird away. Or maybe the Zaps dads will take the T-Bird away. But anyways, it's going to be awesome fun. Yeah. And listen, we got to... great rest of the show for you. We got 2 hours left, and let me tell you what's going on, because I didn't say nothing off the top because we had more important pressing business to take care of. But listen, next up, the Zaps have given us a music set, and it's wonderful. You listen, you know what? I honestly, like the list that they gave me, I am not familiar. Like, I know Guy Smiley. Well, Liam Lynch is coming up. I know him. But there's other bands that I've been meaning to check out that I just haven't got around to in this music set. So stoked to play this. And then because I was at the lake all weekend and I knew, man, I'm not going to really have time to prep for this show at all, I gathered some more outside, requests. No, that's not right. No, I got sets, music sets from other folks. And so after that, we're going to have a punk rock set from my buddy Chris. We're going to have a really cool, weird 90s kind of, I don't even know what, like, it's all over the board. But my buddy Elon gave us a set of 90s rock. Then my buddy Dan, who was up at the lake, and we listened to a lot of Tragically Hip, by the way, on the weekend, because, you know, it's Canada weekend and everything. So we listened to a ton of Hip, and he gave me a list of his top 25 Hip songs, at least for now, because I'm guessing they'll probably change over the years. But yeah, I took, 6 songs from that list that I thought were awesome, and we're going to do a Hip song or a Hip set later on. And then, yeah, we're going to do a little bit, mostly CanCon, if we have any time left at the end. I'm kind of feeling like we won't, and we'll see what happens. But one last time, July the 5th, Osborne Tap House, the Zaps Pancakes release party, EP release party, special guest Shit Happens, Lost Planet Airmen, and Second Floor Patients, $10 cover. Get there by 8. Get there by 9. Just get there by 9 to see all the bands. And if you can't, you can't. But try and get there for all the bands, and it'll be wicked. So here we go. This is a set picked out by the Zaps, and I'm going to start off with Winnipeg's own Guy Smiley. Good choice. This is called A Better Friend. It is CKUW. It is 95.9 FM. I want to thank the Zaps for doing this, and I can't wait to see them. It's the Night Danger radio show, and we're going till 3 in the morning. If I can stay awake, the coffee is coursing through my pores yet again.